Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The psalm for this evening, Psalm 137. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites the day of Jerusalem, how they said, 'Lay it bare, down to its foundations.' O daughters of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall be he who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rocks." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading for tonight from 1 Samuel. When the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and set it up beside Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him back in his place. But when they rose early on the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both his hands were lying cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. This is why the priests of Dagon and all who enter the house of Dagon do not tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod this day. The hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how things were, they said, "The ark of God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is hard against us and against Dagon our God." So they set and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" They answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath." So they brought the ark of God of Israel there. But after they had brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against that city, causing a very great panic. And he afflicted the men of the city, both young and old, with tumors that broke out on them. So they set the ark of God to Ekron. But as soon as the ark of God came to Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "They have brought around to us the ark of the God of Israel to kill us and our people." They sent, therefore, and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of God of Israel, and let it return to its own place, that it may not kill us and our people." For there was a deadly panic throughout the whole city. The hand of God was very heavy there. The men who did not die were struck with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. The ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviners and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us what we shall send it to its place." They said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return with a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand does not turn away from you." So they sent the ark of God to Ekron, but as soon as the ark of God came to Ekron, the people cried out, "They have brought around to us the ark of the God of Israel to kill us and our people." They sent, therefore, and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it return to its own place, that it may not kill us and our people." For there was a deadly panic throughout the whole city. The hand of God was very heavy there. The men who did not die were struck with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you that you are our powerful and our loving and our mighty God, who continues to draw us to ourself out of our own death. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen and encourage us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are a little bit OCD, if you have a little bit of a twitch, or you need to be doing something with your hands, this is a pretty good toy. It's just two magnets. And I found them someplace along the line, and I find myself when I'm thinking, when I'm walking and I'm fidgeting, just working back and forth, just pushing the two magnets apart, and they automatically suck back together again. But every now and then, one of the magnets will be turned with its pole on the wrong side. And then when that happens, I don't know if you can see this, everything you try to do with that magnet pushes it away. There is no way you can push, you can hold, you can do whatever, and that magnet continually pushes away from the other pole because they're not right. But as soon as one is flipped, then it's exactly back where it is. One side is pulling the other toward it. That's a little bit of a reference to what's going on in the Old Testament reading for today. This is a reading that we lose. There's so many great stories in the Old Testament, and we spend so much time in the New Testament talking about Jesus, we forget about these great stories. The Philistines, we know them. These are the Philistines and their 9-foot-tall man, Goliath, that David took care of. These are the Philistines. And the Philistines were raising havoc with Israel, and they went into Israel and they stole the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you remember the Ark of the Covenant, not from Raiders of the Lost Ark, but the Ark of the Covenant was the place where the Ten Commandments rested, Aaron's staff that budded, rested, and also some manna from when they were wandering around. All of that was in the Ark of the Covenant. But that's not what makes the Ark of the Covenant powerful. Those are reminders to us. The Ark of the Covenant sat in the tabernacle. And when Israel had set the tabernacle and set this most holy place, and the Ark of the Covenant sat in there, for Israel it was a visible reminder of God's power and presence. And right there in the Ark of the Covenant, from the middle of, if this was the Ark, from the middle of the Ark where these two cherubim sat, there was a place right in the middle called the mercy seat. And the mercy seat for Israel, emanated out of that was a cloud by day, not just in the temple, but a cloud that went all the way up into the heavens, so that wherever Israel was camped around the tabernacle, they could see during the day with this cloud that this was the presence of God with them. And then at night, the cloud had a fire. It was a fire burning, so it was somewhat like an eternal nightlight for Israel. And every time they looked to the tabernacle, they could see God's presence resting in the Ark of the Covenant, knowing that their God was watching over them, was loving them, was guiding them, was doing all of the things that he had done since now he had freed them from Egypt. All of that power is there in the Ark of the Covenant. And the Philistines, they pillage the village, they grab the Ark of the Covenant, they take it back to their city, and they put it in the temple of their false god, Dagon. And they set the Ark of the Covenant there before their carved man-made image. And Dagon is really a transliteration of the word. Dagon is the god of grain. So they worship this god for good crops and all of these things. And they set the Ark of the Covenant in kind of as their trophy. Look what we got. They set it before Dagon. And the next morning when they come in, their false god, their Dagon, is flat down on the ground, prostrate before the Ark of the Covenant. No small significance what God has done there. And they come back in and they pick up their God and they put him back in his place. Now I'm sure that should have caused some of them to scratch their head and say, what just happened here? And they come back the next morning and now their God is again face down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. But his hands are broken off and his head are broken off and they are sitting on the threshold of the door and it's as if God Almighty stepped into the temple and said, there's the door, false God. You have no place here. You have no power here. And when they see this, when the Philistines see that Dagon has been broken apart and laying before the Ark of the Covenant, they get nervous. What kind of God is this? What kind of power does this God have? And they want that Ark of the Covenant out of there. And they try to devise a plan of where to put it and how to get it away. And as soon as they began realizing this, they realized that where the Ark is, their people are getting sick. Tumors are beginning to develop on their people, and it's all because of this Ark. This thing has to go. And it's like these magnets. When the magnets are right, we see one pulling toward another, but where the magnets are not right, we see the magnets fighting each other. God is in his presence. Our powerful God is there in the Ark of the Covenant in the midst of these people who think that God has no power. They have been accustomed to that because Dagon has no power. He's a puppet. He's a false god carved out of wood so that men can feel better about themselves and implement their will on the people. And the one true God shows his power and his strength. His dominance over Dagon, his authority over all things, including disease. And now when they are in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, they want nothing to do with it. They run from this God who would be a destroyer for them. When we look at this story, we oftentimes wonder, why is that in the Scriptures? What does that have to do with us? Why do we have to worry about Dagon? But the real heart of the story is this. What happens when our God, your God, the most powerful God, cuts off the head of your false gods? The image for this, the analogy for this is oftentimes I hear this from kids in high school. They're really gifted athletes. They have a lot going for them. They're progressing well through the ranks of everything. And they maybe even get into college and they're doing well there. And they think that this is their career, that they're on the way to being a professional athlete with all the gifts and things that God has given to them. And that can become a god just like everything else. They begin to worship this thought and they begin to do everything to foster this career. And God isn't in his right place. And then suddenly an injury comes and changes the whole course of their life. An injury that takes the head off of their false god, of their career, or their hopes and dreams. It sounds a little callous when we talk about God in this way. That God inflicts, that God causes, that God brings trouble upon us. But he does that to kill our false gods. Because if he doesn't kill our false gods, they will kill us. Our Lord in this story shows his power and his mercy and that he is not a God to be trifled with. If you're a fan of C.S. Lewis, he is not a tame God. But he is good. And he continues to pull his people toward him. The mercy seat, that place in the center of the Ark of the Covenant where God's power and promise resides, is hope for us. Because we, like the Philistines, still have these false gods that we run after. We still put them in the place above the one true God. And our Lord continues to show his grace and mercy to us. He moves those gods out of the way. And instead of destroying us for our worship of them, it is through the mercy seat that we see God's mercy to us. That mercy seat is no longer in the Ark of the Covenant. That mercy seat was outside of Jerusalem at the cross, the altar of the cross, where God showed his mercy to us, his power and great glory to us, when by instead of condemning us, he condemned his own dear son. Where Jesus on the cross for us would take all of the punishment for all of the times we've worshipped the false gods. And he would say back to us, out of his mercy, it is finished. Your sin, all of it, everything that would pull you away from God is finished. And at that point in time, the magnets were reversed. Instead of God and his grace, or instead of God and his wrath pushing us away so that we would repent and run to him, now the tables have been changed, and our Lord looks to us through his grace and mercy from the altar of the cross, and he draws us to himself through his gifts, constantly calling us to himself that we might hear those words from the cross, it is finished, that he might bring us here to this altar where we see his grace and mercy given to you, forgiveness, where we see his water and word in the waters of holy baptism that make us his child. We have the Lord's Supper that continues to give us his good gifts so that we are reminded always of the power of our God. A power so great that he would draw you from death to life. A power so merciful and gracious that he would not spare his own dear son but spare you and take his life and give his grace to you. The story of Dagon is important to us because it shows us God in his great power, which we sometimes forget about or take for granted. But remember, God is not a tame God, but he is a good God. And he loves you, and he has redeemed you through Christ our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.